Let's give it up for moms this morning. Amen. I'm convinced that motherhood is the most important responsibility on the planet, and it comes with the most amount of pressure of any other job on the planet. I mean, after all, it seems like every day moms hear competing messages. Boys and girls come home from their neighbor's house and they're telling their mom how amazing this other mom is and her cookies are better than anything they've ever tasted. And, you know, then you got husbands. Well, we just stick our foot in our mouth all the time saying, you know, things like, well, I wasn't raised that way, or I didn't get that when I was a kid, or, you know, and then not to mention all the social media messages that are out there that here's a way you can be a perfect mom in the next 4 minutes, you know, and what a mom ought to look like and sound like and act like and all this other stuff. And there's this cloud of pressure of what a mom feels like she's supposed to live up to be. And while, ladies, I know that this is Mom's Day, I don't want you to live with unrealistic expectations. I want you to know, to be empowered and somewhat emancipated to understand biblical parameters and expectations for the calling of which you are a part of. And so in this series that begins today called Relationship Goals, it's been my heart's desire for a long, long time to do a series of messages on the most valued relationships in our lives. And so we're going to do that today from Mother's Day through Father's Day, and we're going to look at those most important relationships in our life. And so why not begin with the role of motherhood? And especially, let's do this. Let's use the Word of God to dispel the myths about motherhood. I know that I'm somewhat out of my territory here. One, I am not a mom, have not, nor will I ever be a mom. I know what God made me to be, and mom is not it. And so I realize I'm in uncharted territory, and immediately, let's say about half the folks in this room have a much better perspective than I do of said calling. However, we're going to stick with what the Word of God says today and hopefully find some great encouragement along the way to at least encourage the ladies in our life and to dispel any myths that are out there about motherhood. In fact, let me do this. Let me ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. If you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you there nearby. I'd love for you to have a copy of the Word of God. If you don't own it, a Bible, just take that one with you. We'd love for you to have a Bible as your very own, and we'd love to be an encouragement to you in that way today. And in a moment, the words to the text will be on the screen as well. And sometimes it's easier when you have a different version to kind of hear and see the same thing. And that'll be on there. If you're using YouVersion, that's a great app. But I'm just an old school guy. I don't know about you, but I kind of like my Bible. I like to underline in my Bible and make notes in my Bible. So you'll hear me say, look at this verse and look at this word. I would use that as an opportunity, boys and girls and men and women, to circle those words in your Bible and let that be a blessing to you as you go back to those same passages. And I know that's kind of hard to do sometimes in technology, but I just really value the Word of God. And I think we all ought to value the Word of God above any old word of any old preacher along the way. Now, having asked you to turn to Proverbs 31, I'm pretty sure here's what happened with some ladies in this room. When I said Proverbs 31 is the Mother's Day message, there are some ladies that went like this on the inside. They went like this. Oh, man. And if you don't know why that just took place, let me just kind of sum up Proverbs 31 for you. There's a woman that is pictured in Proverbs 31 as like the perfect woman. She never sleeps. She never stops working. She manages a fleet of ships. I think she runs a farm. She manages a full-time staff. She's like a fashion expert. She cooks. She cleans. She homeschools her children. She has a feast waiting on her husband when he gets home from his much less demanding job than hers. And she doesn't even need a carpool because she puts on her super cape and just flies the kids around from appointment to appointment. Okay, maybe there's a little hyperbole there, but you know the point I'm making. If you've ever read Proverbs 31, ladies especially, if you've read Proverbs 31, by the time you finish, you kind of feel like, well, there's no luck for me. Proverbs 31, actually verse 10, starts that whole discussion. I'm not going to start there, but it's almost humorous, the opening line of this text. A wife like this, who can find her? don't amen this, by the way, men. All right, just keep your mouth shut. All right, but there's almost a little irony as you read Proverbs 31. But I want us to understand the intent that the author meant for us to take away from this text. As always, I believe God's word has one interpretation. While it has millions of applications, and we'll certainly apply some of those here today, I want us to understand really what God meant for us to understand from this text. So let's do this. In honor of the word of God, would you stand to your feet if you're able to do so? And let's look at Proverbs 31. Follow along with me in verse 25, if you will, and let's start right there. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful today that you created woman. Father, we thank you today because none of us would be here today apart from the wonderful gift of life. And Father, I also recognize that with it comes great challenges, and because of the society and because of sin, great confusion. And so, Father, I would just ask you today to comfort those who are facing today with sadness. Father, I would ask you today to provide peace for those here today that are struggling in confusion. And Father, I would also ask you today to provide courage for those, Father, who are looking at this day and feeling like it's impossible to achieve what you've asked us to achieve. And I thank you today that all that is possible through your holy word and through the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So let's do a little Hebrew lesson real quick. Of course, we know that much of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and Proverbs 31 is actually a poem. It is a poem about the woman of noble character. Ladies, listen very carefully to me. Proverbs 31 is not a job description for every woman. Single men, listen to me. Proverbs 31 is not a job description for your potential mate. Proverbs 31 is a beautiful poem really describing for us what wisdom looks like in action. In fact, the first word of each verse actually begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet following a certain prose sequence. But like many poems, it tends to draw attention to those often overlooked, mundane, ordinary tasks of the day and showcase them in a way that helps us value those kind of everyday tasks, if you will. Now, mind you, we're having to kind of jump back in history into a day where a lot of these illustrations and metaphors may not quite resonate with us here today, but we're certainly going to do our best to try to extrapolate some of those applications along the way. But most of all, I would just really like us to address and dispel those myths about motherhood. Myth number one, that motherhood is for every woman. Verse 25 tells us an interesting phrase that I'd like us to dig into a little bit. It says that this woman that's being described here is able to laugh at the time to come. Now, you remember when Abraham was told by God that he and Sarah, his 90-year-old wife, by the way, were going to have a son, and they were going to name him Isaac, and he was going to be the father of many nations, and, you know, the incredible lineage was going to happen through Abraham and Sarah, who, by the way, were very old. I've already said that. They were very old. And the Bible says that Sarah, when she heard the news, what did she do? Help me out. She laughed. That's right. That's not the picture in Proverbs 31. That's not the, hey, let's make fun of what God just said. That's not the direction that Proverbs 31 is describing. All right, so kind of get that out of your mind just for a moment, and let's think more about the reality of what it means to laugh at what is to come. You say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. You know, I'll be honest with you. I look at my life, and You know, I think about my son or my daughter who's far from the Lord, and I'd rather cry than laugh. I think about my life and raising kids on my own, or this family I know where he's raising kids on his own, or I think about that divorce or that death or that separation or the childless woman, or I think about the struggles in this world, and it makes me want to cry, not laugh. How do I deal with this injunction to laugh at the future when all I can think about is the pain of the past or the worries of the future? Frankly, a lot of us do really well at both of those things. We think about and harbor that pain, and we look forward, and we agonize and are anxious about the future, and yet the Bible is telling us that there's a possibility here to laugh at the things to come, and I really sometimes feel more like crying. How am I supposed to do that? Well, I really believe that's a divine call. I don't believe just anybody can do that. I think it's someone who understands clearly who they are in Christ, and they understand who Christ is and who God is, and they're able to put that all into perspective. Let me encourage you with this. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 2, in fact, I want you to see this with me. I want you to understand laughter like the way the Heavenly Father understands laughter. Look at this text with me. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, "The kings of the earth prepare to fight, and their leaders make plans together against the Lord and his appointed one." Let's pause right there. So here's what's happening. The enemy is getting ready, all right? The psalmist says that the enemy is getting ready to attack the Lord. Watch what happens. "But the one who sits in heaven laughs." The New Century Version says, "The Lord makes fun of them." I kind of like that perspective. I don't know about you, but you say, what do you mean? What's going on? All right, watch this. For those times that we feel like crying and we want to know how to laugh in the face of feeling like crying, watch this. Do you know why the Father laughs in the face of adversity? Because he knows who he is. He's the Father. He's the good, good Father. He is God. He is supreme. He is almighty. He is in charge. He is in control. He can do anything he wants to do. He's not intimidated. He's not insecure. He's not trying to be somebody he's not, praise the Lord. You say, "Well, Pastor, how can I laugh when I feel like crying?" Watch this. Laugh like the Father. Because like he knows himself, as a daughter of the king, ladies, you know him too. You can laugh at the things to come when you feel like crying because you know the Father. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know the future." I didn't say you know the future. But you can laugh at the things to come, the things that you know about and things you don't know about, because you know him. That's the divine call. You see, every child of God has that same makeup. Our security is in Jesus Christ. So therefore, as we look to the future, we don't have to be fearful of the college graduate who just finished school and walked across the stage with a diploma but no job. They don't have to fear the future. The young lady who's now facing some challenges she never thought she'd face. The middle-aged man who's facing challenges he never thought he'd face. The boy, the girl, that you get where I'm going. We're able to look at the future with a different perspective because we know the Father. Not because we're so strong, not because we're so smart, not because, ladies, you're the perfect woman. It's because you know the perfect Father. Myth number two, motherhood is easy. Myth number two. You know, I think Christian moms have the hardest task in the world. And yet I think our culture has said it's so easy, you can do that and a whole lot of other things too. You know, I realize that there is no perfect person, which means, ladies, there's no perfect mom. Isn't that right? You say, "Pastor, are you saying my mom's imperfect?" Yes, because the only perfect person who's ever lived is Jesus, right? All right, So what that means is, ladies, you don't always have to have the right answers, right? You don't always have to have even the right attitude. God can still speak through you. Look at verse 26. The Bible says of this lady that her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. You say, wait a minute. I can make a mistake and God can still use the words I say? Friends, I'm living proof of that. I make mistakes every day. But hopefully God still uses this voice box to say what he desires to say. So we've got to find assurance in knowing that God can use our words to bless the home. There's a great, great illustration of this. You know the name Dr. Ben Carson, world-renowned surgeon who is now our U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Dr. Benjamin Carson tells a moving story about him and his mom in actually a couple of different books that he's written. But one of them, he tells a story about how he and his brother Curtis were required to write a book report every couple of weeks in their home. And boys and girls, this was not a book report assigned by this teacher. It was assigned by mom, and they weren't homeschooled. Okay, so understand what's going on here. Mom is telling the two boys to read a book and write a report on it every couple of weeks, a different book. Now, what in the world is going on with that picture? So Ben Carson goes on to tell the story that he didn't really understand what she was doing. He thought she was probably reading and checking his grammar and helping them become the wordsmith that they became and whatever the case may be. It wasn't until junior high that he realized his mom did not know how to read. You see, this woman was not going to settle over her own lack of learning. Instead, she gave her boys what she had, the courage to demand extra hard work. And he's living proof of that today and how God is using him and his incredible wisdom and intellect to lead the way in so many different areas of our world today. Ladies, I realize you're going to make mistakes. You know what? On Mother's Day, you're going to make a mistake. Everybody does. It's called sin. We all sin. And every day we're going to make mistakes in our lives. But through it all, listen, God will love you. God will work with you. God will work through you. And God will accept you. That's the most beautiful picture of all, is that God designs his plan to be carried out through imperfect people. So do your best to separate yourself from this perfect image of this made-up person that no one could ever be, and to realize it's still possible to speak with wisdom and loving instruction to be on your tongue. Myth number three, motherhood is always enjoyable. Now, frankly, I grew up in a home very much similar to what my kids are growing up in too. And because of the grace of both my mom and my wife, I grew up in the home of a picture that I really thought that was actually true. That mom must really love being my mom. I see the same thing taking place with my kids today. I mean, after all, doesn't it sound like fun to be the first one up in the morning and the last one to go to bed? I mean, look at verse 27. It says, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Wow. Now, listen, what part of that sounds fun? It's not always fun, but it is worth it. Moms, grandmoms, stepmoms, mom figures, mom mentors, whoever you may be, listen. It's worth it. Those sleepless nights, those nurturing hugs, those faithful prayers, those sad goodbyes, those home-cooked pies, it's all worth it. Every ounce of energy that you pour into living out this calling, it's worth it. President Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." It's so true. Motherhood is not always enjoyable, even though there's some wonderful moms with some really big smiles on their face as they deal with a lot of unenjoyable tasks. Myth number four, motherhood is reward enough. I mean, after all, they get one day a year where we say, praise the Lord for mothers, right? You hear the cynicism, right? Okay. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful, deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Notice the next phrase, give her the reward of her labor. I like that direct action. Give her the reward of her labor. So in other words, take the time out of your schedule to stop and to praise her. Thank God for her. Thank God for what he's done through her, what he's going to do through her, and what he's doing with her. But give her her rewards. Being mom is not reward enough, though it's worth it. Let's take the time to praise her along the way. I remember early on when I realized that it was my job as a husband and as a new dad to help our son do something on Mother's Day. It kind of dawned on me, I'm a little slow sometimes, but you know, at two, he's not going to think of that on his own, and that's kind of my job to help him think of that. I remember even into my 20s, my dad would still call me the day before Mother's Day and say, son, tomorrow's Mother's Day. Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. So I'm grateful for that reminder, but I remember thinking, what am I supposed to do with this new child in our world? You know, I don't remember if he was one or two, but I remember thinking, he's supposed to do something for Mother's Day. And I remember thinking, well, let's just go buy something. Well, she's not going to believe that a two-year-old went and bought anything. And so I remember rationalizing this in my head, thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? And through the years, it's been fun to kind of watch and our boys come up with their own kind of creativity to this. And Angie's been so gracious to this whole thing to help me realize that those thoughtful gifts, those maybe cheap, less expensive gifts, but with a great amount of creativity, are a lot more valuable than those fancy gifts. And that's been great to watch them. And so even this week, we decided to do a, you've seen the edible fruit arrangements, you know? You can buy them for like $100. No way. Anyway, so we got that last minute idea last night too. And so I think I know now why they cost so much. I'm not going to show you a picture of ours. It's too humiliating. But it was an attempt. But you know, with the grace that Angie has, she received that with a wonderful smile and laughter because she knew the heart with which it came. And well, she is the grace in our home, which I'm so thankful for. But it reminds me of a story that I heard one time about a man who went to a florist, and he said, I want to buy some flowers for Mother's Day. And he said, what can I buy for $3? He said, the florist said, well, you can buy a dozen carnations or you can buy one rose. Now, you know why, right? There's a difference between carnations and roses. Now, I need to give somewhat of a explanation here because moms, on the way out of this service today, you actually are going to receive a carnation. Hey, it's budget tight. I'm just saying, okay? So anyway, so the guy says, now, wait a minute. Why are roses so expensive? I can buy one rose or a dozen carnations. And the guy said, because while a carnation may have a sweet smell for a moment, it's not going to last. It's not designed to last. But a rose goes on and on and on and on. If you don't believe me, you just hang out with some folks that do this, and even when a rose looks like it's dead, what do? They say, don't throw it away. And they'll take it, and they'll mesh it up, and whatever it is that they do to it to make it potpourri. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Don't throw it out, especially around here in East Texas. There are some ladies that can turn that thing around and allow that smell to continue on and on and on. And ladies, listen to me. You are more like a rose than a carnation. God created you to reflect his beauty and his grace. But if you reject being God's kind of woman, it cheapens your worth. And an ungodly woman is not attractive to the Lord's kingdom or to godly men. Ladies, you were born to reflect God's beauty, to show God's grace, which goes on and on and on and on. I hope you're encouraged today, ladies, that at least here, our church does not expect the impossible. There is no perfect person other than Jesus Christ. But as we've dispelled these myths, you may say, well, Pastor, we've missed a couple of things, and you're right. I want you to look with me in verse 28 and 29, because what we've missed is very important. And I want to end with this here today, because of the entire text, there is only one segment of instructional language in this whole text. What I mean is, there's only one directive here, and it's not for the woman. The directive is to the man and the household. So children, other people living in the household. Look at verse 28 and verse 29. I know this is going to fly in the face of a lot of ministries like Proverbs 31 Ministries or books that are written and commentaries and seminars and all this, but listen to me. Proverbs 31 was a poem, and its original audience was men and households. That's why the only prescriptive instruction is right here in verse 28 and 29, and this is how we're going to end here our time. It was actually a song that men would lead their families to sing about the women. I kind of thought we could do that here today. If all the men, I'm just kidding, I'm not going to do that. Some of you guys are like, what? I'm not. She don't want to hear me sing, and that's probably true, you know. So, all right, watch this, all right? So there's three things that must be done. Number one, affirm her. Verse 28 tells children to call her blessed and husbands to praise her. That's really important, but let me get it really simple. Use your words to affirm her. Use your words. Say, well, I'm not good with my words. That's why I go to the card store. Okay, use somebody else's words, but use words to affirm her. Write them out. Say them over your lips. Text them, for heaven's sakes. Use a post-it note. It doesn't matter, but use some words to affirm. I love in Luke chapter 2, you remember the end of Luke 2 and the birth of Jesus and the whole story of that. And the Bible tells us right before verse 52 that says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with favor with God and man. It says in verse 51 that Mary kept these things. Now, you know, you've seen them in the gift stores, these keepsake boxes. My wife's got several of them from little notes that our boys have given her through the years. And those are precious things. Why? Because it is valuable. Those words are valuable to her in hearing them again and again. And listen, you may not believe this, but do you know moms have bad days? It's true. Not many, I realize, but they're going to have a bad day. And to know they can recall words that praised her. Affirm the ladies in your life. Number two, assist her. You say, where are you getting that? Look back at verse 28. One key word right here in verse 28. It says, for children to rise up and call her blessed. I can't help it. I wish I could show this. But you guys remember the commercial? You've probably seen it where the kid is sitting on the couch and he calls his grandma and says, could you get me something to drink? And she's like in the other part of the house. You ever seen that? It's a whole deal on exercise and kids getting out and doing things and being active. You know what I mean? It's such a great, great commercial. But I thought that's the picture that comes to my mind of assist her. Get up and help her. That's what it's saying, okay? Don't yell from across the house, hey, I'll get that later. Get up. Do something. Hey, here's an idea. Instead of adding more dishes to the sink, why don't you stop and do them? I mean, that just came to me. It just, you know. I like to do that after dinner at our house, too. And the other day, I noticed one of our boys jumped in and started kind of helping. And now, listen, I have control issues, but we're not talking about me today. It's moms, all right? So it got a little messy when this child started helping, and I got a little concerned. And then it just clicked for a moment. I realized, wait a minute. He's catching it. somebody somewhere down the line is going to be grateful, all right? So then I was like, yeah, let's go at it. I'll mop later. This is good, you know? And so I was realizing what's taking place. Listen, why don't you plan ahead tomorrow so that tomorrow morning is not so crazy for your mom? It's just an idea. Let's think of some things that will assist her to show our love. Hey, guys, let's outserve her. I know you can't do it, but let's try, okay? And finally, let's appreciate the ladies in our life. Let's show specific ways. Verse 29, I really like verse 29 because it's a direct statement both to her personally and about her publicly. Notice this. It's the only quotation in the text. I hope you saw this, but it's the man figure's speech, if you will. But it's not just to her personally. It's not just on a Hallmark card. It's publicly about her. It says, many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Hey, let me tell you something, guys. And children, listen. There is nothing positive that can come from tearing down a woman verbally. Man, I really was hoping you were listening. Let me say that again. There is nothing good that comes from anyone verbally tearing down a woman. Church family, you agree with me? I think that the reality is we live in a day and we're shocked with this whole Me Too movement and whatever else, whether you're talking about domestic violence or emotional abuse or verbal abuse or whatever the case may be. We're shocked that we're seeing certain things happen, but I'm not so shocked when I've heard words being said and young ears are listening. What we say matters. We are to value the women in our life. We are to speak positive, not just to her, but publicly about her. You know, I love preaching the Word of God, and I'm grateful for the call to do that. But I want you to understand something if you haven't already understood this. This isn't the service that my family attends, but I will say the same thing in that service. Lord willing, you will never hear me while I'm trying to be transparent and vulnerable and open and all of that, you will never hear me make fun of my bride. I will never publicly or privately say something that is going to hurt God's created masterpiece. And for that matter, it shouldn't go on any direction. Man to woman to man, to child to parents. Our words have such value. I love that the only quote publicly in Proverbs 31 is, one, it's succinct, but two, it's powerful. Everyone heard it. I want you to consider your mom for a moment. Maybe she's beside you right now. If so, you're blessed. Maybe she's 1,000 miles away. Maybe she's no longer here. Maybe she's already stepped into eternity. You know that there is a love that a mom has for her children unlike any other. She's the one that hugged you when you were lonely and hurting. She's the one who supported you when nobody else would. She's the one that prayed for you when you were far from the Lord. She's the one that prayed for you when you're far from the house. She's the one that stood up for you even when you were wrong. There's a love that a mom has that is unlike any other. And really, what drove her to be so loving when you weren't, when I wasn't, when I was thankless or even rude to her, is because she had an unconditional, unmatched love for her child. Now think of, real quick, I want you to think of one way you can affirm her. You can assist her, and you can appreciate her. If she's here, if she's not here, you can still do that. You can honor the memory. So think of something real practical that you can do. As you do, I want you to write it down. Text it to you. Send yourself an email. Do whatever you got to do. But remember a very practical thing that you can do to help and to show your great love that you have for her. I'm going to ask you, if you will, stand to your feet with me this morning. As deep as a mom's love is, there is one that loves deeper, and that is the love of God for every child, every man, every woman. And the love of God is so amazing. I mean, listen, your mom probably gave you what she thought was good for you, and most of the time, she was probably right. But God always knows what's best for you and always gives you what's best for you. That's why he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, so you could have the greatest, greatest gift of all, eternal life, abundant life on this earth. You know, some of you may have been mean to your mom, and this morning you were reminded of that, and you thought for a moment, man, I wish I had it to do all over again. I wish I could get those words back, and you know you can't. Maybe today it's too late. Maybe she's already passed, and you can't get those words back, and it's just too late. I want you to know something amazing. It's not too late to turn to God, because God's unmerited, unmatched, unconditional love continues on and on and on. And you are here today because of God's amazing love for you. It's not too late to get right with God. In fact, I believe the greatest Mother's Day present you could ever give a living mom or deceased mom is for you to be right with Jesus. Today, I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to do whatever it takes to be right with Jesus, because that's the greatest gift of all. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we love you and we thank you today that you have made it very, very clear that you love us with an everlasting love. And Father, I pray that this morning, even as you have stirred our hearts, God, that you would prompt our feet, motivate our actions to show the love that we've received most of all from you. God, that we would receive the greatest gift of all. Father, I thank you today for Jesus. Every good and precious gift, including moms, come from Jesus. And so we thank you, God. Father, I pray today that hearts and lives will be changed because our desire is to be right with you. In Jesus' name, amen.